Our first scripture lesson today is one I'm sure you will remember when I start to read it. It's from the book of James entitled Faith and Actions. And many people think maybe James and Paul were at odds because Paul would always say you were saved by faith alone. And I remember reading this week and I thought it was very interesting saying that Paul was talking about people who are new to the Christian faith. We are saved by grace alone, faith alone. And James was addressing people who had been living in the faith for a while, and now he was telling them that it's faith and actions that we need to live out our faith, not just talk about it. Verse 14. My friends, what good is it for one of you to say that you have faith if your actions do not prove it? Can your faith save you? Suppose there are brothers and sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in saying to them, God bless you, keep warm and eat well, if you don't give them the necessities of life? So it is with faith. If it is alone and includes no actions, then it is dead. But someone will say, one person has faith and another actions. And my answer is, show me how anyone can have faith without actions. I will show you my faith by my actions. And our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, and it's the story of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do, so she came and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me. The Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken from her. Thanks be to God for these words. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you do some kind of exercise? Anyone here? Put your hand up if you do some kind of exercise. Thank you very much. If you are able, follow your hand up and please stand up. Okay, if you do some kind of exercise. Awesome. Thank you very much. No, stay standing. You can't sit down yet. If you think exercise is a good idea, but you haven't got around to it yet, you know, please stand if you are able. You're getting the idea. I'd like as many as possible to please stand. If the only exercise you get is walking or wheeling yourself to the kitchen table to eat, please stand. Okay, now since we don't... No, you can't sit down yet. Stay standing. Now, we don't have a lot of room here, so what I want you to do this morning is shuffle three steps to your right. Take a little shuffle. Three to your right, even if you have to go out into the... Thank you, into the... Awesome, thank you. Now shuffle three to the left. Wonderful. You didn't know you were coming to an exercise class this morning, did you? Okay, stay standing. If we had room this morning, I would have had you have taken two or three steps forward or walk around in a circle. What do you have to do to walk? Move. What else do you have to do? Move your feet. Thank you. Do you put one before the other? Your right foot forward, then your left foot forward. So to walk, we have to put one foot in front of the other to make it to a destination. Now, if you only had one leg and you had to hop, would you get very far? No. You need both legs to keep going, and you have to put one foot in front of the other. Please sit down. Finally, you get to sit down, right? You know? Now, since we're talking about prayer this morning, it's too bad, you know, I could have you kneel for a while, but, you know. I wanted to do that this morning to illustrate this morning's scripture passage, the Mary and Martha story. What is Martha doing? Working, thank you. Where? In the house, cleaning, right? Getting ready. Has anybody here got ready for company? You know, done the baking, cleaned the house, all those good things. What is Mary doing? Sitting. Where is she sitting? Thank you, at the feet of Jesus. The term sitting at the feet of someone is a cultural description of a student-teacher relationship, especially in that day. It was quite an cultural anomaly in Jesus' day for a woman to sit at the feet of a rabbi or a learned teacher. I mean, it was done, but not very often. Studying scripture, prayer, the contemplative life. Well, we need to know this is not an either-or situation if you want to be a follower of Jesus. It is a both-and. It's kind of like walking. You need both feet to move forward, your right and your left. Now, I say that recognizing that some people have difficulty walking. And actually, a retired minister I know from Brantford went to Florida this winter. There was on a holiday, an aneurysm that broke behind, I think it was his left knee. He was rushed to the hospital, and the operation was a success, but it didn't heal properly. He had poor circulation, and the leg was taken off above the knee, and now he's learning to walk with a prosthesis. You know, and that happens. Mary and Martha. Prayer and works. I found it interesting when I started reading about this passage this week. Can I share a little story with you? Thank you. The Vision Lead Team has been looking into an alternative structure for the governance of Appleby United Church to help it move forward that will give more focus for the vision of Appleby United Church and make it easier for new ideas to come forward. One of the ideas for the new leadership team is the place of spiritual disciplines. Prayer and reflection on scripture in this governance model. And the Vision Lead Team was talking about that Thursday morning. Do you know what I was doing Thursday afternoon? Well, I started reading about these passages of scripture and in feasting on the word. So, first off, Cynthia Jarvis, the author, says both are necessary. You know, right foot forward, left foot forward, prayer, learning, reflecting on God's word, putting that word into action through serving others. Both are needed. She writes, "A community that is hospitable to Christ is a community marked by the attention the community gives to God's word or scripture. A church that has been led by worried and distracted by many things," what's used to describe Martha, "inevitably will be a community that dwells in the shallows of frantic potlucks, anxious stewardship campaigns, and events designed simply to perpetuate the institution. When anxiety and well-doing becomes the measure of our hospitality, then the church has forgotten the one who has been gathered to serve." Wow. When a congregation forgets and gets too busy to read scripture together, to ask what it means, to to wrestle like Jacob, to ask for God's blessing, studying and nurturing faith that seeks understanding, we can forget the one who has been gathered to serve. I guess that's something we all need to think about more, and what this might look like for the new proposed leadership team and the ideas go to the church board in October. Now, this Mary and Martha scripture is not intended to make us feel guilty that we're doing too much of one and not enough of the other, but rather it's to point us towards life, hope, and joy, a spring of water that never runs dry, life in all its fullness, working towards balance in action, serving Jesus by serving others, and then sitting at the feet of Jesus, reflection. By keeping them both, it helps to prevent us from getting burnt out. Have you ever felt burnt out? Anybody here? Thank you. Have you ever been on overload? Have you ever needed a sabbatical from church meetings? Come on, be honest. Yeah, I saw a hand. Honest. Awesome. Dig into the Mary and Martha story. Now, you won't believe what appeared in my mailbox 2 weeks ago. It was after the sermon I did a couple weeks ago. It's a Touchstone magazine. I've started to get it maybe the last 2 years. And you probably can't read the word across the front of it, but the word is prayer in big letters. I thought that was coincidental. In the editorial, a retired United and Emmanuel College theological professor said he finally got around to reading a book that had been sitting on his shelf for years. Ask almost any minister, and they will tell you about the books that look good at the bookstore. They've read the first paragraph or the back cover and somehow never got around to finishing the book. Maybe that's happened to you. Well, the book that was wasting away on Peter Wyatt's shelf was Praying the Kingdom Towards a Political Spirituality by Charles Eliot. Eliot observes that many concerned Christians in the first world are caught in the jaws of a trap. On the one hand, in the face of profound material needs of millions of people, we can feel a sense of guilt for the material abundance we enjoy and for the colonial depredations from which we have benefited. On the other hand, in the face of the challenges of the world, economics, injustice, the power of despot rulers, the violence that casts a pall of fear over many lives, we can feel powerless. What do we do? Give up our concern and content ourselves with an individualized form of religion? Or jump into hyperactivism designed to purge us from guilt and powerlessness? Well, Eliot's prescription for this doubly daunting dilemma is the remedy of prayer, sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary. Prayer that seriously seeks God's kingdom on God's term. He defines this as standing in all our weakness before God on the side of the poor and offering our psychic energies in the great battle against evil. Do you know who he names first? In ourselves, in our environment, and the whole cosmos. What a mouthful. Eliot believes that prayer is a means of releasing God's power in the world, thus affecting events in a more profound way than human power and actions alone could do. So did this Clifford Eliot simply stay at home or at church and pray? Do you think he stayed at home? No, he didn't. He spent his whole life as a political activist, meeting with politicians and economic leaders in the United Kingdom in his role as the executive director of Christian Aid. But he was clear about his view of the source of transformation. I quote, "As long as we imagine that the world can be changed by our activities, our good works, our energy alone, we substitute our effort for the power of God. That is ineffectual as it is blasphemous." End of quote. Eliot's bold claim is also that we feel this power animating our prayer life and equipping us for service in God's reign. Now, the key to Eliot's recommended style of prayer is using your imagination to live into the situations about which one is praying, engaging the stories of people affected by the crisis is one aspect of this. Imagining living your life in their shoes, life on the streets, caught in the cycle of poverty, what it takes to be retrained and get a new job. Another is living into the biblical stories to deepen our understanding of the nature of God's reign for which we work. And all this was said by a man who spent his life doing on behalf of the poor in service to God. For him, prayer, action, reflection was the model that gave strength and power and guidance for him to keep going in his role as an executive director of a Christian aid organization. I have a question for you this morning. Was there a time this past week when you thought you were doing the lion's share of the work, like Martha? Have you ever felt you were doing the lion's share of the work? How did you feel? What did you say or do? Did you keep muttering to yourself or did you blurt it out? Was there a time during this past week you gave yourself a chance to sit down, to reflect, to read, to listen, like Mary? What was the outcome? How did you feel afterwards? How does this flow of action, reflection, action, or starting with reflection, action, reflection, move back and forth in your life? Welcome to the teaching of Mary and Martha, not just for your life, but also for the life of the church. In that same Touchstone magazine, a John Butters, you may have heard the name, he's a retired United Church minister in his early 80s, who spent 30 years at Hartcourt Memorial in Guelph, reflected on his own life of this practice of action and reflection and contemplative prayer. And he found it interesting, he even started going that way because he was a man of social justice. It was interesting to read the pieces that made up his prayer life. Absence, couldn't feel God's presence. Art, even drawing with his non-dominant hand. Reading, regular deep breaths, discernment. He had a long list of things. And he said, you know, about every 6 months, you know, he changed and tried something different. But the most important thing was to just keep doing it, keep trying, even in times when God seems absent. It was an active, ever-evolving process that he committed himself to, and it could start with something as simply as reading the daily bread that Norm Hockridge orders every year, or getting a daily devotion online. I've signed up for Cameron Trimble's. She says daily or almost daily. Do you know why she says almost daily? Because some days she doesn't get around to it, you know, the busyness. And she was this year's speaker at Horseshoe Falls Regional Meeting. Find something that works for you and keep going. Thanks be to God. Amen.